If you'd open your Bibles with me, we're in 1 Corinthians, and tonight, Lord willing, we'll be in chapter 3. And again, in chapter 1, it was brought out the name. In chapter 2, we saw the power and the power of His might. And now in chapter 3, we're going to begin the purpose of this wonderful name and this wonderful power and the purpose of the gathering that we can have in the Lord. And before we get into chapter 3, I want us to again review the three types of man that Brother Paul brings out in this 1 Corinthians here. And we have heard of these a couple of these types before, actually really all three of them, in Romans as well too. Brother John's been bringing that out. But first of all, we saw the natural man. And we read about him a little bit last week. And we understand that the natural man is the unregenerate man. It's the one that is the sinner. It's the one that has not come and accepted Christ Jesus as their Lord. As we read last week in chapter 2, verse 14, it tells us very clearly that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So again, the natural man can study this word as text in a lot of different things. But again, until Lord Jesus is Savior, you are not the spiritual man. You are not even the carnal man, as we'll read about this evening. But you need that new life. You need His life within in order to receive any of the things of this Word or any of the things of God. Next, we were introduced to the spiritual man. Now, the spiritual man is the one that is walking in the Spirit, in harmony with God, growing up into the things of God. Romans 8 refers to him as the sons of God. It's so wonderful, showing that there's a maturity level there, that they've grown out of the child phase. They've grown out of that stage and are going on with God. And tonight we'll begin to address the third one, which is the carnal man. And the carnal man is a saved brother or sister in Christ. Remember, this isn't just talking about men. This is mankind, men and women. And believe it or not, brothers and sisters, we can both be carnal. And God is calling us out of that. And carnal means someone that is fleshly, not walking in the Spirit, as opposed to being, in a sense, a son of God. Now, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. I understand that now are we the sons of God. We are His children. But again, in Romans 8, it brings it out very clearly that if we're going to be led in the Spirit by the grace of God, we are the sons of God. If we're not going to be led in the Spirit, we're going to be children. We're going to be as babes. We're going to be like little kids. And it says there in Romans 8 that as it goes on and it's talking about that, that no matter what we are in Christ, again, whether we are the sons or children, we are all heirs. It's just like any family. My children that I have are heirs. I don't like to tell them that. And I'd like to keep them, you know, behaving a little bit. But they really are heirs, okay? And I'm not going to disinherit them. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Your Heavenly Father will never disinherit you, because nothing can separate you from the love of God. But we're heirs of God. But then, as it's mentioning there about the sons of God, we can be that son of God, in a sense, the joint heir, if so be that we suffer together with Christ Jesus, that we may know Him. So those, again, are the three different states that Paul speaks about, the very three different types, I should say, of man. And in that, we will go ahead and begin here in chapter 3. And it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." Now again, these are the Corinthians. These are saved and filled brothers and sisters in the Lord. And they have accepted the message of Paul and of Apollos. These were mighty men of God that had the wonderful full dispensation of the mystery of Christ that was given to them. And they are, again, claiming that they're in these ministries. So again, we know that these are saved and filled brothers and sisters in Christ. But listen to what Paul's saying here. "Brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now with that, I want you to go over with me to Romans 8. And we will begin reading from the 5th verse to, again, maybe more clarify this carnal. So Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And I think that's a wonderful thing to examine yourself in. By the grace of God, what are you after in your life? What does your life crave? What does your life speak of? This isn't something to condemn at all. Praise God, this is to convict and hopefully to quicken. Become alive in the life that Christ has given you. He wants you to grow up. That's His whole desire. That's the whole reason that Christ is waiting to wrap this thing up. It's not to save the nations right now, as most of Christianity is preaching, because that's not going to happen at this time. The thing that's hindering or holding this up, I'm telling you, is the manifestation of the sons of God. It's for us to grow up, to be ready, the wife to make herself ready to meet Him in the air. And brothers and sisters, that's what this is about. And this is this calling to us to be after the things that are of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. As a Christian, obviously, you are saved. You will be and are seated together with Him in the heavens in Christ Jesus right now. Absolutely. But in a sense, God's or Christ's testimony in you, if you want to go the way of the flesh, it can be as much as dead. I've known many a Christian that I could not tell the difference from the world. I could not tell the difference from the different ones that would be just outright, in a sense, natural men that didn't know Christ as Savior. But again, if we'll pursue the things of the flesh, that's what's going to happen. As the Word of God tells us, sin begats sin. All right. So for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I think that's such a wonderful calling to us. I think that that's pretty much all I ever hear in this world, especially from our government, from all of the nations. Well, we're seeking peace. So in a sense, it must be a very important thing to seek, isn't it now? But we understand that without grace, we'll never have peace. And again, this is this call to us is to seek this Spirit, seek this grace, which will give us life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's against God. It can't have peace. For it is not subject to the law of God. It's not subject to God's will, God's plan, God's word. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And what is it impossible to please God without? Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what is faith? How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by His wonderful word. So brothers and sisters, I'm equating spirituality, or the ones that God would encourage to come and to study His Word, to have the Word and believe the Word so that it would work effectually in us. There's a difference, not just hearing, but again, that hearing that the effectual work of the Word of God can do in our lives through believing the Lord. Now, getting back to chapter 3, verse 1 there. Now again, he calls these Christians, he calls them carnal, and he says, and basically, you're babies. Now, we're going to go on to the 2nd through the 4th verse, and here are the 4 signs of a carnal Christian. The first one is they cannot bear meat. They cannot eat the meat. Go ahead and let's read verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. This is when he first came to them. Neither yet now are ye able. They've stayed in the same condition. They're stunted. There's no growth there. There's no faith that is going on. There's no word that they're growing up. And again, we know that we grow in grace and we grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Paul faced a similar situation there. We'll start reading from the 12th verse. Now again, these were the saved Jews that Paul was encouraging through this wonderful letter to the Hebrews here. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. That's how far they got away. They even had to be weaned back to milk. You're pretty far away when you're about there. But I'm telling you, you get away from the things of God. And, you know, we've read through Romans. It's amazing when you don't give the glory to God and you quit being thankful. I'm telling you, you will go down. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What a call here. What a promise. That as we grow up in Christ, again, we have life, we have peace. We're able to discern the good and the evil in our life. I want to grow into this stuff. I don't want to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I don't want to go out there not knowing where God wants me to be, where in a sense that I'm confused or there's some type of chaos. He said He'll keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. And this is what the call is for us, brothers and sisters, is to grow up. That the confidence is in Him. That the empowerment, like this brother's asking for, the power of God that comes into our lives, that it grows us up. I'm telling you. That I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to fear. I know who's for me. And I trust Him that as I get into this Word, this isn't a haphazard approach. This isn't taking God up on my terms. This isn't something that I say, okay, Lord, I'll accept only the Word of God that's going to comply or in a sense with the way that my lifestyle and I'm living it. Doesn't work that way. That's a baby. That's like dealing with my kids at certain times. No, Dad, I'm not going to do it that way. Well, I've seen a lot of adults do that. And I'm going to tell you, as a kid, there's a rod of correction. And for us, brothers and sisters, here's the rod of correction. It really is. It's right here. And it's a gentle rod. It really is. As we take it, God is correcting us to grow up. He's correcting us to go on, to mature, to be perfect and complete in all the will of God. Not just some of it, but every single bit of it. It's there for us. And we'll understand again that any type of flesh or carnality that comes in to our lives, we are not fulfilling in a sense or allowing God to fulfill the depth of Christ and the Spirit that can dwell within us. So again, in verse 2, he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye now. The disciples, I think about them. Remember he said to them, he said, I have many things to say unto you. And again, these were the ones that had dwelt with Jesus 3+ years. They had slept there and dwelt with him and understood and heard the words and saw the miracles and all of these things. But he said to them, I have many things to say unto you. Yet you can't bear them now. You can't understand them. But yet when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Spirit, He will lead you into all truth. There's a difference there. Those disciples needed to grow up. If you watch the life of Peter, it needed to mature. He was confident in himself, wasn't he, in his early, in a sense, years with Christ. Oh, Christ, I'll never forsake you. They're not going to take you. I'm going to smite that soldier and cut off his ear if they take you. Hmm? And all the Lord had to encourage him was, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. And that really was an encouragement. Get out of yourself. Quit thinking so highly of yourself. You're nothing. The only thing that keeps you is me. Amen. You can't come here tonight even to seek the Lord unless He drew your heart here this evening. Do you realize that? He's the power. It's not you. It's being a willing vessel to accept God's work in our life. All right, so, you know, you go on. I was thinking again of the Song of Solomon there in chapter 4 and verse 2. You might just write that down. It's talking about the Shulamite woman there. You'll notice that verse there talks about her teeth. As the Word of God says that we need that full set of teeth, that we can feed on the meat. It's just like little babies when they come into this world. They don't have any teeth, so they have to have the milk and those types of things. But as you grow and have that full set of wonderful godly teeth, the word is masticate, that you can actually take and feast upon all of the Word of God, the depth, the meat that is for us. Now again, how could you not think as a Christian that God is calling in us into something so special? That there's something that He wants us to rejoice in and fellowship in with Him. Truly, and a lot of people get, in a sense, a little bit eerie when this is spoken. But as an equal with Him, He wants you to grow up into the very image of Him. You know, when I married my wife, I wanted someone that was my equal, that I could share things with, that could understand the things that I would want to speak about and talk about. I didn't go out to marry a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old. Jesus Christ is after a mature Son of God in order to wed, to be able to share the depths of His heart, which is the depths of His glory, which is the depths of His grace. And these are the things that we need to, again, by His grace, grow up in and unto Him in all things. All right, going on, verse 3. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you, here's the second thing. We saw the first one, they can't eat meat. Here's the second one. For whereas there is among you envying and strife, that means contention, enmity, and divisions, are ye not carnal? Now remember, this wasn't contentions and divisions over the Word of God. And I like to think of it like the Scripture tells me. When I'm talking about the truth, He separates me. I don't go on dividing me. He separates me to Himself. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Okay, this wasn't over the truth that these ones were dividing. There was envy. There was strife. The same message was coming out, whether it was through Paul or whether it was through Apollos or whether it was through Peter. It was the same Christ that was being preached. These people were dividing themselves. Brothers and sisters, really take this to heart at this time, that this is truly something that the enemy uses. And I'm telling you, I remember sitting here, and I would even go to conventions sometimes. Lord willing, we'll have one coming up, or church camp or different things. And I would see people sometimes get in together, but they weren't together. Well, that's my pastor. And I understand that's your pastor. And praise God, I want to be a faithful pastor to you. But we're one in Christ. We're one in Him. And it's His message. It's not about a messenger. It's not about a person. It's about Jesus Christ. And I think we found that out in a mighty and a marvelous way. That you know what? Christ is the keeper. And it's His wonderful keeping of His Word. And you know what? He wants you to grow up. And it is. It's something that He's taking us on from glory to glory to glory in. So praise His name. So again, he said, I don't want to see this envy, and I don't want to see this strife. I don't want to see these divisions. And one of the things that really struck me about this was in the Word of God, he says for us to be perfect in His love. Really, to have the love of God perfected in us. And if you go just briefly, this is a very familiar portion of Scripture to so many. But if you go to 1 Corinthians 13, this is talking about the very love of God, the very perfect love of God, which is in His Son, Christ Jesus. And it says in verse 4 there in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, it says, love suffers long, and it's kind. Love envies not. So see, they were envying, so they didn't have the perfect love of God going on there, because there was envy going on amongst them. Charity or love vaunts not itself. It's not puffed up. What were these brothers and sisters doing? They were saying, well, I'm puffed up because this is my pastor. And this is my pastor, and that's why I'm better than you. And that was the division that was going on. These were the things that were puffing them up. It was self. It wasn't over truth, and that's the difference. And again, we don't, in a sense, I'm thankful for the truth in my life. I'm thankful for if God continues to mature me as and count me worthy as a wonderful, mature son of God. There's a thankfulness. There isn't something of my selfish pride. Now, again, I mentioned that the other week. That can happen so easily. The enemy getting in there thinking you're something when you're nothing. Anything that we are, it's because of Jesus Christ and His working in us. Praise God. But again, love doesn't behave itself unseemly. It doesn't seek her own. See? What were these people seeking? They were seeking attention. They were trying to magnify themselves. They were trying to magnify their little group. Okay? Now, by the grace of God, I want to magnify Him. I want to give Him the glory. I want to give Him all of the praise by His grace. So again, so there was the second one. Now the third one's come. And walk as men. Okay, there's the third sign of a carnal Christian. You're walking as a man. You're walking, and especially for these different ones here of the Corinthians, these were the Greeks. These were the ones that were so cerebral. They were so smart. These are the ones that had all of the philosophy. Again, we talk about the Socrates, the Aristotles. This is that group, that mindset, the great minds. And this is what he's saying here. That is a carnal state to be in. To think that something in your own imagination, in your own reasoning. Remember, he's already said how many times that the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. It is. And this is what he's saying here, that they were walking as men. They were walking in their own understanding. And I'm going to tell you, there's no understanding to man. It's a wreck. It is a wreck. And we've all been there at one time or another as a Christian. And you know it. Be honest before the Lord. When you have tried to make your path and fit your life into thinking that, okay, I'm godly and I know the Lord loves me, but this is the way I'm going and I'm going to, because it's going to be maybe an easier way. Maybe I reason with myself that it's going to be a better way. I've seen people do it with their families. I've seen people do it because they don't want to fight the good fight of faith. Well, it's just easier for me to go to so-and-so church because everybody can agree and we can at least get something out of it and we're not fighting. I'll guarantee you the fight's on right there. And you can be asleep for a long time. But someday, I'm going to tell you, the Lord loves you. And whom He loves, He chastens. And He didn't give you this message for nothing. He didn't. He counted you worthy to hear the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And He wants us to fight. He does. Don't lay it down. By the grace of God, to fight. We're not beating the air. Oh, no, there's a purpose there, isn't there? And it is. It's to win Him. Praise His name. All right. Going on. For while one saith, so here's the fourth one that we're going to read about in the fourth verse. I am of Paul. And another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? See, what was happening here is they weren't allowing Christ to be the head. There were all these divisions again. Well, I'm going after this. I'm going after that. Hey, I want to be a Berean saint. I want you to as well. Go search the Scriptures to see if these things are so. Search them out. No. Don't go by anybody just telling you something. And as the Lord said, He's so faithful that even if we were otherwise minded, if you have the right heart before God, He'll even reveal that to you. Isn't that wonderful? That's why you don't panic and fret with the things of God. He'll reveal these things to you. We have that heart that's that will be pliable, that He can mold and make so wonderful. So He says, are ye not carnal? And again, as going back to Romans 8, that one verse there that says, mortify the deeds of the body. Mortify this. This is truly get rid of that dead thing. And it is. It stinks. And this philosophy and these vain puffing ups of thinking that I'm something when I'm nothing, that is, it's just abominable to God. It is. Because the glory's not going to His Son. All right? So I think that that covers it pretty well there. And again, I just think it's so precious as well, too, because people always think of carnal, and carnal is anything fleshly. Don't get me wrong here. But what Paul is hitting these guys about, this isn't about the criminal stuff. This isn't about fornication. I mean, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But he's setting the stage right here. This is about religious workings. This is about philosophies. This is about leaving the doctrine. This is about who has bewitched you. Huh? Are ye so crazy? Are ye nuts that you're going to be perfected by the flesh? Huh? It's by grace. It's by grace. You imagine, that was the Galatians. Colossians were fighting a lot of that that philosophy as well too. Man is man. Yeah, don't you think? We all have different issues, but you know what? We'll all be like that dog returned into his same vomit. And don't think you won't when you get apart from the things of God. You're a man. You are. You have that flesh. All right, let's go on. And so precious here now, he's pointed this out, but God, as always, He gives us the remedy, and Paul's going to bring it to us here. So Paul says, who then is Paul? Who am I? And you know what? Who are you? Who are you? And who is Apollos but ministers by whom ye believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man. Yeah. He's given us ministers by the grace of God. He even said it, and I appreciate it. I'm sure Paul was so thrilled by the foolishness of preaching is how he chose that, didn't he? Huh? Just even to maybe knock us down even a little bit more. That's how I chose it. I'm going to choose the weak things, the despised, and we're going to confound the wise and all this stuff. Yeah. This is Christ. And I tell you, the more that He brings me into Him, I understand that, Lord, I need to detach everything about me, everything that really is ingrained in me, in a sense. Because it, my ways aren't your ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. Your love is so beyond. Your ways are so past finding out that it's so beautiful to, again, rest in Christ and His wisdom. But again, he says, who am I? Who is this Apollos? Going on in the sixth verse. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Isn't that wonderful? I was speaking to my dear cousin today, and the Lord is using him mightily as far as just the growth. And I'll tell you, again, the trying of our faith is more precious than gold, and that's how we grow up. And it's been wonderful to see. And he's been giving out the Word of God, and he's been witnessing to a few of these people here that have been around him here lately. And he'd sent me a sweet email, and this is basically where we were. And I believe that God had put him in this place as well, too, where he was a little bit frustrated that they weren't seeing things, that they weren't going on with this. Well, what else could I do? What else could I say? And I said, brother, God gives the increase. That's it. See, that's what Paul's saying. It's not me. I mean, I hope to be a testimony of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope that His testimony flows out of my life, that you sense the love of God, that it's real. But you know what? That is not going to get it. I hope it encourages. I hope my prayers for you and vice versa that would encourage us towards the things of God. But it's God that gives the increase. He has to manifest Himself to you. It has to be real to you. When we have our faith invested in someone because of their faith, that's not faith. It's not. Faith is in the Word of God, and the Word of God points me to one place, and that's to Jesus Christ. That's it. Nothing else. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's where it has to go. A good minister will only magnify the Lord. It's the truth. A good minister understands that I'm nothing. And I'm saying, are you a good minister? I believe I am, because I understand that it's God. And I might not be an eloquent speaker. A lot of people say, well, you don't use English correctly. And I say, well, that's fine. I just am trusting God that He'll use what He wants to get through to you. How's that? And maybe you wouldn't pay attention so well if I was more articulate. What do you think of that? Okay. So that's where we have to trust Him, that He is your sufficiency. He's my sufficiency. And I want to listen to Him. I want to understand what He has for me. So then, he goes on and he says, well, I was thinking there too, how God, it's so precious, He uses a variety of instruments, doesn't He? And they're all different. Apollos was different than Paul, and Peter was different. They all had different personalities. And we might be drawn more one to another. But it's just like we say, when the Word of God is preached, and in this place we have many different ones that can bring forth the Word of God, whether it's in study or classes, you need to pay attention. That's God's Word. Well, I don't like Brother So-and-so or Sister So-and-so's approach or whatever it is. Let me tell you something. If you can't find anything with the Word of God that they're, in a sense, the Word of God that they're bringing out, and you're never going to find anything wrong with the Word of God, but I'm just saying that there wouldn't be any discrepancy in the truth of the doctrine, you better pay attention. Yeah, that's the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, He spoke through a lot of different things. A donkey, huh? Yeah, I guess I better shut up. All right, verse 7. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Again, just giving all glory, magnifying the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And again, if we're going to be mighty in the things of God, and again, you hear so many people say, oh, I just, you know, I want to do for the Lord. I want to be used by the Lord. Well, magnify Him. Just magnify Him. He'll produce the good works. He really does. He said there. He foreordained those good works that we should walk in them. He already prepared all that stuff. Just relax. Trust God. Praise His name. All right, verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Okay, so now he's going back and telling them. Apollos and me. We're one. We're one. Okay? We're in Christ. You're in Christ. We're not divided. I get so sensitive when people try again to divide up. I don't mind the ladies having fellowship once in a while. I want to make sure that you understand that. I don't mind the men getting together and all, you know, different things like that, and the kids and all of that. But we need to come together. The much the more as we see that day approaching. We're a body. We're a body by the grace of God. And we hope to attain into the glorious body that will be coming out from amongst that body. But again, we're one in Him. And Paul is bringing this out. And that was the problem with what they were doing here, is they were trying to fracture up the church. That's the divisions that they were trying to create there. God's not in that business. He is in one, and we're one in Him. And every man, it says, shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, that's a wonderful thing, but let's understand what this labor is. And I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because again, people will pull out verses and say, oh, see, there's the labor. If I labor, oh, am I going to get a reward? See, I got to be working. I'm telling you, we go to a little school and I have sweet people that love the Lord. And every week they've got the soup kitchen duty people and all that. Here we go. We'll get the truck and we're going out. And that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate that. I want to see people helped in those types of things. But that's not going to get it done. That's not the labor of the Lord. Listen here. Listen to what God tells us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9. For I am the least of the apostles. Paul really needs to let them understand this. I'm the least, that am not meet to be called even an apostle. Isn't that wonderful? Because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Kind of think about that one sermon he gave me. Didn't have to be that way, but it had to be that way. Huh? I don't know if you get it, but I think God will bring it to you. I do. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. It's the grace of God that's doing the labor in our life. Do you understand that? That's a gift. Anything that we do, anything that He's called us into. You know, the Word of God tells me if I'll do this thing willingly, there'll be a reward. But I understand this is just, it's the grace, not in a sense just, but it is. It's just the grace of God. What else would I want to be doing by His grace? This is the will of God. Again, I tell you, it's not just because you're ministering the Word. I would, from a pulpit, I would hope that we would be a minister of the Word in whatever we do. For 18 years, I ran a business before the Lord called me into the pulpit. But I believe by His grace, I was ministering the Word of God. And I believe by the grace of God that, you know what? I was laboring together with Christ. And it was the labor that He had for me at that time. And that's where He wanted me. And if I was doing anything else, it wouldn't have been His complete and perfect will in my life for that period of time. You couldn't get ahead of the Lord anyways, but they have the saying, don't get ahead of the Lord. You couldn't anyways. I just want to be in the will of God. And that's where we need to understand, is to take the place that the Lord would have us. And to trust and to be confident in that. I appreciate David again as he said, Lord, You've enlarged my steps. That's a huge thing, brothers and sisters. That's confidence in God. Knowing that He's the sufficiency. Know that He empowers my life. Knowing that, you know, He's willing and doing in me of His good pleasure. That's a huge thing. And I can rest in that. That the working is the working of what we're allowing God to do in us. That is the labor. Okay, verse 9. For we are laborers together. Oh, praise His name. Faithful ministers are one in Christ. Again, Paul bringing back this oneness that we have in Him. All right? For we are laborers together with God. And I love it. Now, let's talk a little bit about how this laboring works. And we'll just really make it simple. All right? He's the potter. What are you? Okay. So you're working together. You may not think you're working, but you're working together with Him when you do that. It's true. It is. All right? We understand that He does everything. That kind of is what we're getting at. The Word of God goes on to say that I am His workmanship. Huh? Are these hints? Or they're just absolute truths. Absolutely. You're the clay. You want to work together with God? He does the work. Again, He wills and does of His good pleasure in your life. Or it's not His working. And you're not in labor with Christ if that's not happening. And it's the truth. We need to understand that. Again, I could have faith to move mountains. I could speak with the tongues of men and angels. I could give everything that I have to the poor. But if I don't have the love of God, it profits me nothing. Okay? And the love of God is what? That's His labor. That's grace. It really is. It brings it all back. It brings it all home. That this is His work. And there's nothing of myself that I can bring to this. If I really want to be in the perfect and complete will of God, this is something that He does within us. Praise His name. Now it goes on to say, ye are God's husbandry. That word means farm. It means field. So I'm glad I'm laboring together with Him, but I'm the field. The clay? Ye are God's building. I've never known a building that built itself. How about you? It had to be constructed, didn't it? Praise the Lord, okay? So again, that I'm His husbandry. I'm the field. God just tells me to prepare the field, in a sense, to receive. Break up the fallow ground. He'll bring the water. He'll bring the planting. He brings all of that. Praise God. I'm just there to make sure that I'm ready to receive of Him. The building, again, that I would be open, be the open vessel, that God would come and inhabit my life. Everything. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, this is verse 10, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Now look at that. Now I actually ran into somebody that said, see, Paul was boasting a little bit in himself right there. I'm the master builder. Now, what was it? What did he say right before he said that? Read it again. According to the grace of God. Well, to me, he's just magnifying his gratitude and thankfulness of what God did in his life. Praise His name. Facts are facts. I love Jesus. By the grace of God. I'm thankful I love Him. I'm thankful I'm following Him. I'm thankful that my life is getting fervent in love. Those are facts. I'm being transformed. Hallelujah. By the grace of God. I'm boasting in Him. It's His work. Do you see the difference? That's the only way. That's the only way we're going to grow. That's the only way He's going to get it through to us that it's me. But He's the wise master builder. I have laid the foundation. And we understand that the foundation is Jesus Christ. And another buildeth thereon. Okay. We need to, again, understand that that foundation is Christ. And as we build upon it, we need to take heed, as it says here. And another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. So I'm going to tell you, it matters what we feed on here. It matters what we're building in our life. And God willing, we're probably going to get into that as well too tonight. But it says, take heed. Be earnest. Beware to build the spiritual. 2 Peter 3:18. It's out in the front steps. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're not going to grow any other way. How clear, much clearer does He have to be? You understand, it is His love, it's His Word that grows us up into Him, into those fat sheep. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2:20, you'll see He's the cornerstone. He's the foundation stone. Praise the Lord. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, I want you to notice those first three, gold, silver, and precious stone. They're rare. They're small in size. It takes a great price, doesn't it? When you accumulate those things, there's a mining that goes on, isn't there? You got to dig deep. Praise God. They're not just, a lot of times, just sitting on the surface. You got to get in there. Hallelujah. And He's got to take you there to get it. Praise His name. But then it goes on to say wood, hay, and stubble. Now again, as I was reading, I was thinking, I have to tell you, I was kind of thinking of the three little pigs. I don't mean to be silly with it, but it's kind of true. You know, the first one, he had his little house of straw. And then the next one had his little house of wood. You know, and then the next one had the bricks. Now this is going the other way, and it's getting worse as we go. I had a bunch of wood. Oh, but I can gather even more hay. It's more plentiful, and it looks like a bigger event, huh? Oh, but I can even just go out and get stubble anywhere. I don't even have to go out to the field to get the hay. I just go walking around and get everybody else's stubble, and I can make it look big and like it's a mighty thing that I've built up here. This is where he's going back. Take heed to what you're building in your life. Take heed to what you're feeding. Protect them ears. Oh yeah, it makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. At the end, there's something coming. And the Word of God says that His reward is with Him. Oh my. His reward is with Him. And I'm going to tell you, they're mighty rewards. That hasn't even entered into hearts or minds or thoughts or anything of these natural man. But the Spirit. But the Spirit. Praise God. There's a method to this madness as people look at and say, oh, you're crazy. Well, praise God, I'm crazy for the Lord. But every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. And again, that day that those rewards are with Him. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Oh, I love that. And I appreciate what Brother Schofield says down here. If you have a note, Schofield note about this reward. He says, this is a further distinction that salvation is a possession. You have it. It's yours. While rewards are a future attainment. Isn't that precious? I think the Lord was dealing with him too. Isn't that wonderful? Now let's go on and go. Hallelujah, into the high calling, you can see that there's something being done here. There's an excitement that he's building up. But I think about, again, where it says about the fire. Brother Copley kind of brings this out where he says, there's the blaze of eternal glory. There's fire one way or another, and that's the blaze of eternal glory. And I was just kind of researching that a little bit in the Word of God and thinking how there in Revelation 21:11, where it says she comes down with the glory of God. She has it. And her light. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to be a blazing light. Man can't even look upon it. Moses had to, he said, you got to turn aside here, man. You're not going to be the same anyways, but I still want you here. Yeah. And that's the glory of God. And that's the light. Hallelujah. See, that's the reward, and that, praise His name. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Now, again, think what he's talking about here. The work that's going to be burned, he's already addressed this. This is the flesh. This is the carnal stuff. This is the religious splendor of waste. It's true. What is he talking about? He's talking about the wood, the hay, and the stubble. Because that's going to burn. It can all look good. It all looks like a building. But it wasn't built upon the things of God. It was built upon the flesh. It was built upon my feeling. It was built upon good works. Self-righteousness? Or is it built upon the Spirit? Isn't that wonderful? See? Do you see that you can't do anything except believe Him and yield to Him? And in that, He's the one that brings the increase. And you know what increase is? Obeying God. I love that. That's the increase in my life, that I can actually be in harmony and I can have life and peace with Him. And I can spend wonderment and joy with Him. And I can enjoy all these things in the Lord. Praise His name that He brings us into this type of fellowship with Him. But it says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Now, wouldn't that be something if He just ended it there? But oh no, this is God. But He Himself shall be saved. And why? Because we're talking about a Christian here. See, Christians can waste their lives. And you can waste your life in a good way. According to the world. Even according to religion. You can waste it. Don't. Times are precious. And I'm telling you, the moments count. Every single moment counts. And I want to be in that will with God. And He can put me there. He can place me there. And it's not of me. It's not of my thoughts. It's not of my wants. It's Thy will be done. But He Himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You'll read about this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Let's just turn there. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. And this is the building. This is the precious stone. This is the gold and silver. Huh? Isn't that the stuff that's tried in the fire? Huh? That wonderful gold? The trying of our faith, which is the Word of God in our life. Think about that. It's not my diligence. It's not my how strong I am. It's the trying of faith. And what is faith again? It's the Word of God. It's believing in that. It's what is evident that God has convicted me by His grace to believe. But if we deny Him, He will deny us. And again, that's the reigning. That's the jointly reigning with Christ Jesus. Because it goes on to say in verse 13, if we believe not, yet He abides faithful. Because He cannot deny Himself. And that's what He's calling out to these Corinthian brothers and sisters. You've got the Spirit of God in you. You're a child of the King. You're seated together with Him in the heavens in Christ. But you know what? If you keep on this way, you're basically going to be spiritually dead. You're going to keep putting this flesh in your life. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to quit giving me the glory of God. And you're going to quit being thankful for what I've done. And that's basically what happens when you end up in envy and in strife. You're not thankful for God because you're magnifying self. It's the truth. And He's saying, wake up. It's His work. It's His doing. It's my love. And it's my grace. And Lord willing, I think we'll go ahead and stop there.